a beautiful thing to understand God's word. It's a beautiful thing to dwell and to delve into God's word and to try to understand it better. And one of the sad things that I've learned and have seen is that the family of God, those that are supposed to know him, often we don't exercise the discernment to be able to let God's standard of good and evil be known. It's a crying shame. It's a pitiful situation that those that sit and listen, let the words of God drop into their ears, can walk away and still let the ungodly lead them as if they don't have a father that can teach them what he wants. My title for tonight will be "The Father God Will Teach and Prepare His Children to Do Righteous Judgment." In the 32nd chapter, in the first verse, I may go back and forth between the what is called Authorized Version and the ESV, especially in verse 5, so that we'll get a clearer understanding. But I want to go ahead and start here in verse 1, Isaiah 32 verse 1 says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." That's a whole sermon right there, based upon what we've already seen in the book of Isaiah. That, in of itself, is absolutely one of the most amazing, magnificent things that we could see. Somebody might say, "Tim, why'd you stop there?" Well, I remember, before we ever got to this chapter, the children had turned their back on God, and God had said in that third chapter and the fourth verse, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." You see, what God has said would happen is that they would conduct themselves in such an ungodly way that I will put somebody over them that's not even qualified. Somebody over them that would do things that were not pleasing in God's sight. And yet, we see in this 32nd chapter, God is going to give them a king. Father God wants the family to be able to discern judgment so that they can let the world understand the difference between good and evil. But these people here had moved so far away that God had to promise in the future, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, or a shelter from the storm, as rivers of water coming into a dry place. as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. This takes it from the ESV before we move into it. Verse 2, each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be closed, and the ears of them who hear will give attention, and the heart of the hasty will understand and know. And the tongue of the stammerers shall hasten to speak distinctly. Oh, what good and wonderful sounds it is coming to our ear when we have gone from the book of Isaiah chapter 1 here to chapter 32 to understand that God is saying at this particular time that I am going to move upon these people, because what has happened is that the family of God, the family of Abraham, the family of Isaac, and the family of Jacob, who have not been listening to God's eternal words, the family of God that have decided that we were going to live an ungodly life, and we think that because we're the children of God and that we're the family of God by genealogical blessings, that we don't have to be children of God in spirit and truth, and therefore they lost their ability to do judgment and to discern between good and evil. Somebody say, Tim, how do you know these things? Tim, you're rant and you rave. There ought to be some things that we would rant about. There ought to be some things that we would rave about when it comes to our Father, our Heavenly Father. As good as He's been to some of us, still let us breathe His air. Go back to the passage, Tim. Okay, I will. In Isaiah chapter 6, listen to what God had said about these people in verse 9. Isaiah had asked the Lord whom, the Lord asked, and then Isaiah answered. He says, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, this is Isaiah, here am I. Send me. And he said, go and tell this people, I'm talking about the family of God, the one that we're not doing judgment, the one that did not discern between good and evil to make his ways known unto the ungodly world. He says, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Isaiah says, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, to cities be wasted without inhabitants, houses without a man, a land be utterly desolate, and Yahweh have moved men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. Somebody can say, Tim, why would you read that, Tim? Why would you say that? I would say this for this particular reason here. The family needs to understand that God the Father wants them to be able to do judgment and to discern between good and evil. But these people at this particular time, they were not able to do that. And so God said the time will come that their eyes will not be dim, their ears won't be heavy, they will hearken, they will understand. But the problem was is that at one particular time, they listened to the counsel of others. They did not want to hear the word of God, and so their ears got heavy, their eyes got blind, and they did not do God's will. And do evil, God would let him do it to his utter destruction. Somebody say, Tim, how do you know? Pharaoh hardened his own heart at one time. And God did, he sealed it like that. Then there was a time when we read the word of God, the children of Israel cried out for meat. God has blessed them with manna. And they say, we lose this manna. We don't want this mess. We want some meat to eat. And they complained against God and his providence. And he gave them more of what they wanted till the meat rotted in their teeth. Some of you, not looking back at them, know that you maybe have wanted this man so badly or this woman so badly, and you got them, and you wish to God you could have got rid of them. Some of you may have wished you could have gotten this car, whatever it was you wanted, and you wanted it so badly, and you got it, and you suffered with it. How much more, when you want to hear man's wisdom, man's knowledge, serve other gods, don't do justice, take bribes, oppress the poor, and you don't do God's judgment, and you don't discern between good and evil because you don't want to hear the word of God, how much more do you think that God will send you a strong delusion like he did these people? Well, God is saying the time will come that the ears will open up. And the eyes will not be dim. The blindness will be gone. Because God had already talked about that. How did the blindness come? This week is stay in the book. I talked about Pharaoh and his mess, and I talked about the children of Israel begging for meat. But remember the 30th chapter of Isaiah? Listen to what Isaiah said. Woe! Woe to the rebellious children! They take counsel, but not of me. And they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. Isn't that bad? Isn't that horrible? Isn't that ungodly? This is how they got to where they were blind. This is how it got to the place that they couldn't hear. Remember when we were in chapter 29, verse 15? Woe to them that seek deep. You like the way I said deep? Let me say it like that again. Deep. I'm trying to show you how deep it is. Like, you know, when a person gets in a submarine and go 100 feet deep, it's deep above. I mean, below the surface of the water. Deep to hide their counsel from Yahweh and their works in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? That's what they say. And who knoweth us? In the 16th verse, it says, surely the turning of things upside down should be esteemed as the potter's clay, for shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or the thing that was framed said, he has no understanding? How they became blind. This is how they messed up. And what else did they do? In the 21st verse of chapter 30, they make a man that tries to give them the words of God for judgment so that they could discern between good and evil like God say. It says in that 30th chapter of Isaiah, verse 21, they make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth at the gate and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. And God, I will turn that around. But that's going to come in the day when he has a righteous king. Because when your leaders are in error, often the people follow the leader and don't follow God because for some reason they don't understand that God's word is to give them judgment to discern between good and evil. A leader is supposed to do that. A father is supposed to do that for his children. A mother is supposed to do that for her children. But when they don't, you're supposed to be able to go to your real father, your real person that nourishes you. You're supposed to go to your real leader, who is God, who is blessed forever. Amen. because his desire is to give you rivers of water in a dry place so that you can be fruitful and productive, to give you cover and shade in the time of a tempest or a storm so you can be protected, so that a man can be a hiding place from the wind, that he can give you righteous judgment so that the eyes that you can see. God wants to do that for his people, but if they don't turn to him, if they continue in their wickedness, if they continue in their ungodliness, they'll stay in the congregation of the damned. But God is saying that there will come a time that that would happen. And that's a promise to him. And those of us who are living on the other side of the cross, we've already seen that the one that came that could speak and said, rivers of water would come in your belly. The one that showed that you could come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The one that said, I gave my word. If you build upon my word, you build upon the rock. When the rain comes and the flood comes, you will not be destroyed. Oh, the sweetness of the word of God, how beautiful it is to my taste. Tim Merritt, my taste. Verse 4, again, and the heart of the hasty, I'm reading the ESV, will understand and know, and the tongue of the stammerers will hasten to speak plainly. In other words, when we get judgment, when we get righteous, when we discern between good and evil, we will not equivocate. I don't know. I ain't supposed to judge. I ain't supposed to say. Well, that's their personal business. That's a damnable lie. If a man is committing adultery, he is an adulterer. If a man is a murderer, he is a murderer. If a man tells lies, he is a liar. If a man lays with another man, it's an abomination, it's a homosexuality. If a woman does the same thing, it's an abomination, it is homosexuality. If a man blasphemes against God, if a man rejects his word, that man hates God according to his will. We are supposed to speak and give them the word of God and to warn them to flee from the wrath that is to come. Now I'm going to change my voice and go back into my smooth voice. Verse 5 says, the vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl to be bountiful. When I look these words up, I'm in agreement with ESV that this is a good translation for this word to be said here. Verse 5, the fool shall no more be called noble, nor the scoundrel to be said to be honorable. Are you beginning to feel this? Are you beginning to feel that when we do like God say and we listen to what God say, we won't be calling the fool a noble person, irrespective of their position, irrespective to what they are to you, if they are kin to you or whatever. We are not to call fools noble people. We're not to call celebrities great because they have advantage. Nor a scoundrel to be said he's honorable because maybe he did a white-collar crime and made so much. You know the things that our media does. If a person goes up and he lays with somebody and gets them pregnant because he's pregnant, because he's rich and he's famous, it's okay. We'll be able to do judgment and discern between good and evil. Now, somebody might say, Tim, where do you get these things from? I'm reading the scripture, but I got one that I just want to give you for free. The writer of the book of Hebrews, seemingly when he was dealing with things that we deal with, and somebody says, Tim, I don't believe that that's got anything to do with that. Okay, this is the book of Isaiah written about 700 B.C. I'm going to go back to Melchizedek, who was around with Abraham, the father of the Hebrew people, and look at the last part of verse 10 in Hebrews chapter 5, if you're willing to look at it, or just listen if you want to. And I know I'm coming into middle of a thought, but I'm just going to let you see his name. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we're talking about Christ being after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek goes back to Genesis 14. Of whom we have many things to say. The writer was saying, you know, we have many things to say. Listen, and hard to be uttered, not the utter of a cow, hard to be spoken, hard to explain, hard to be uttered. Listen, seeing ye are dull
of hearing. This is what he told the Hebrew people. You are sluggish, you are slothful of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, see, the children of God are supposed to be the light of the world. They're supposed to teach all men to observe all things which God has said. And the older women are to teach the younger women, and the older men are to teach the young men. But most of the time, the older men are teaching young men ungodliness and how to be perverse and ungodly and treat the women like sluts and whores instead of sisters and somebody that can be honored. Yes, men do that. Older men went out and they did all of this porn and stuff and put it in the world, and then they carried on instead of teaching the things of God. Like God wanted, they taught that covert and ungodly counsel. The scripture says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles of the saying and the utterances of God, listen, and have become. You understand how sad it is? And have become. Such as have need of milk. You have turned yourself from being a person that should be able to teach and to instruct and to do judgment and to discern between good and evil. You have become such as need milk. Like a baby on the breast, they didn't have bottles to him. And not strong meat. But everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why is he unskillful in the word of righteousness? He's not listening to the word of God. He's not listening to the counsel of God. He's listening to preachers. He's listening to deacons. He's listening to their society. He's listening to leaders that leading that are children that shouldn't be leading. And he's ignoring the word of God. And he's unskillful in the word of God. Talk about, I'm going to call down blessings. I'm going to speak life unto you. Your breath is in your nostrils, fool. You're not speaking life to nobody like that unless you've given them the uncut word of God, and there's God's light coming through that word. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's mature. Even those who by reason of use, most people don't even want to read the word of God, but by reason of use have their senses exercised or disciplined to discern both good and evil. That's why the King of Righteousness has to come in chapter 32, verse 1. He'll come in righteousness. Princes will rule in judgment. Then a man can be the hiding place. He can be a covert for the tempest. He'll be able to defend the weak. He'll be able to do judgment. It'll be just like rivers of water in a dry place. It'll be like shade in the weary land. And the eyes of them won't be dim because the family of God is there doing what God the Father wants them to do. Do justice, do judgment, and discern between good and evil and proclaim it. The tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak, and a vile person will no longer be called liberal. Or bountiful, you like the way that he talks to you, or the fool will no longer be called noble, and the scoundrel are honorable, for the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity. The fool is going against God. He is doing what is called a one, a awin, and that is lawlessness. The very thing that Jesus says, and he will say, depart from me, you work iniquity. The fool is not going to be honorable no more. He works iniquity. The fool speaks folly. His heart is busy with iniquity to practice ungodliness. You know, that word has fallen out of vogue with the people of God. We need to understand what ungodliness is. And then listen to what he says in the ESV. And his heart is busy with iniquity to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, Yahweh. To leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, and to deprive the thirsty of drink. Well, tell, read it in the authorized. Okay. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. I'm acting like I'm giving you God's counsel to utter error against the Lord.
you love a preacher to stand up and tell you this is my Bible, I can have what it says I can have, I can do what it says I can do, and it's not telling you to gain all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and no man that puts his hand to the plow and look back is fit for the kingdom of God unless you save your life, I mean, unless you lose your life, you will not save it. That's error against the Lord. To make the empty soul, to make empty the soul of the hungry, the person coming to hear God's word and you steal the word out of their mouths. Because you say, God doesn't mean it this way. You don't have to do, you don't have to do all of that kind of studying and get fanatical with it. You can live like you want to live. And so you promote error. So the soul of the hungry stay hungry. You cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. You see, the word of God is like the water that washes. Jesus told the people, and you are clean through the word without spoken unto you. Read some more of the sweet word of God. Verse 7, the instrument of the churl of evil. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even the needy. Speak it right. Listen to how it sounds in ESV. It'll kind of pull it out a little better. As for the scoundrel, his devices are evil. He plans wicked schemes to ruin the poor with lying words. In a period of tithes and offerings, we need to raise another parking lot. We need to do such and such and such. And you nickel and, no, not nickel and, now you dollar and $2, $10 people to death because you got devices to get what you want. So you sell a bubble gum, no good book, this is your best life, or how to get prosperity with God, and you don't even mention the prosperity of God or doing his will, no matter where you are, no matter what you have to do. Jeremiah did not get all that, and he was very prosperous. Jeremiah, I'm sending you to a nation. I'm sending you as a prophet to the nations. They're not going to like you, Jeremiah, to set your face as a flint. Jeremiah, you're not going to even get married. Jeremiah, they're not going to listen to you. This prophet, Isaiah, they're not going to listen to you, but lying words say you give this money to God and you can buy him off like a politician buying off a doggone politician with what they call lobbying, which is no more than bribes. Scoundrel devices are evil to ruin the poor with lying words, even when the plea of the needy is right. When it's time for judgment, we know a man that he had a situation with four boys, and they couldn't get justice. And the man said, I'm going to fight it. And he fought for that word never to be known to the public. And his church backed him up in it. And he's not the only one in Stone Mountain that has done that. So many times, you can go on the web and look at what is called pimp preachers. Just type it in and see the things that preachers have done to the needy or the people that when they need justice, they can't get it even in their own assembly. The family of God is not exercising judgment. And in this case, these people were losing. They were taking their land. You had King Ahaz taking the gold and stuff and giving it away, trying to buy help. Hezekiah did some of the same thing. You had the leaders that turned their back against God. You had the son of Remaliah doing stuff up north and saying they're doing it in God's name. And the Bible says, but he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. When an individual has determined in his mind, I'm going to do God's will, he'll stand on it. He may be turned aside at the gate, but the individual that digs deep in the ground and builds his house on a rock, he will stand. Isaiah was one of those. He stood in front of Ahaz and told him, he said, I and the children that God had given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. So we move from God showing how the judgment will take place and by the type of people that will it will take place and how those have exercised and used counsel against God are now brought to their rightful place of being understood as being the fool and not noble and not honorable. And the people will begin to see the scoundrels for what they were and the lying prophets and the lying counselors for what they were, how they beat them out of what they needed. And then he says that the noble will stand for noble things, but then he goes to the women. And he says, you women, you rise up, you who are at ease, hear my voice. Hear my voice. You careless daughters, give ear to my speech. You see, women, when they listen to the wrong thing, they have a lot of influence. I heard a man named Roshis J. Rushaduni. I'll say it slowly. Roshis J. or John Rushaduni. He says something to the effect, you don't hear people call a language a father tongue. They call it a mother tongue. Because that mother teaches a baby that doesn't even know how to speak a language. Mothers have a lot of influence. Believe that. So he says, rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice. You careless daughters, give ear to my speech. Now, that's a scary thing. Careless. You feel free. You feel secure. Many days and many years you shall be troubled, you careless women. For the vintage, your grapes, your juice, your wine shall fail. Your merriment, that's what we're talking about. The gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip ye. And I'm not talking about pole dancing. I'm not talking about something as stupid as that or something as vile as that. I'm talking about now get to the place where you're going to lament. Strip ye and make ye bare, gird with sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the cheeks. That's the breast. For the pleasant field, for the fruitful vine. Somebody say, Tim, read that in a little bit in ESV. I will. Rise up, you women who are at ease, hear my voice, you complacent daughters, give ear to my speech. In a little more than a year, you will shudder, you complacent women. For the grape harvest fail. The fruit of your harvest will not come. Tremble, ye women who are at ease. Shudder, you complacent ones. Strip you and make yourself bare. Tie sackcloth around your waist. Beat your breast for the unpleasant fields for the fruitful vine. For the soil of my people growing up in thorns and briars. Yes, for all the joyous houses in the exalted city. For the palace is forsaken, a populous city, that's populous, city deserted. The hill and the watchtower will become dens forever, a joy for wild donkeys and a pasture for flocks. What did he say? With all that is going on with you all, and you at ease, when you understand what judgment is and you discern between good and evil, you would understand this is a time for crying. This is not a time for getting together and celebrating the vintage. This is the time that's going to come a time that I'm going to have to make things so hard that you understand that you're going to have to lament. Because you can't lament whenever you see judgment being thrown down. You don't lament when you see God's word is not exalted among the people. You don't lament when you see people take families and let their families overrule them and not let God rule when governments overrule. You don't lament when you see Ahaz doing his dirt. You don't lament when you see Ahaz leaders ruling and moving in and doing things trying to pay off Assyria to get rid of Pekah. You don't mourn when you see Hezekiah give stuff that the Babylonians see him. You don't see when people ignore Isaiah and they tell him to say smooth words. So I know what to do to make you mourn. I know what to do to make you lament. So when you start missing your stuff, you will lament. But how much more precious was the other stuff? Now, when I was saying earlier in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, how long will you preach to those people that have blinded eyes and heavy ears, whose heart at rest, who gotten fat. He said, till the houses be desolate. Here it says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And the fruitful field is deemed a forest. Then, y'all like the way I say that, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fruitful field. You see, when justice comes, that's just like a wilderness becoming fruitful. That's just like a wilderness becoming fruitful and given abundance of fruit. And then verse 17, the effect of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be peace. The result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. God wants the family to understand that we got to do justice. We got to do judgment to discern between good and evil. And these kings did not do it for their people. They did not do it for God. And God had to thrust them out of the land and then give them chastisement and then give them us of his Spirit so that they could get to the place to do what he needs them to do. And we still don't see them ever living up to that as a totality until the time that Christ came. Somebody might say, Tim, how are you going to say Christ fulfilled it? Well, do you all remember that Isaiah had a son called Shir Jashub, and a remnant will return, and that God always dealt with the remnant? Do you all remember the fifth chapter God called Israel his vine, his choice vine? Well, there came a time that God replaced that vine with one of the remnant. He only had one remnant left that was able to be the fruitful vine, that was able to produce what was necessary, and that was his son. Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, he promised water. He promised to be able to do that in the wilderness that could not be done. And the voice of one that was crying in the wilderness said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Everything that's exalted that don't need to be exalted will be brought low. Everything that's low that needs to be leveled up will be leveled. We'll get to that when we get to chapter 35. And it says the effect of righteousness, 17, will be peace, the result of righteousness, quietness forever. That tzedakah is the righteousness, the justice of doing when they did right for one another. It's not just living what we think of righteousness. It's righteousness in action. Verse 18 says, and my people will dwell in a peaceable habitation. Bless the Lord forever. Amen. In a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, in quiet resting place. When it shall hail, this is what it said, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, the city shall be in a low place. ESV, and it will hail when the forest falls down, and the city will be utterly laid low. Happy are you who sow beside all waters, who let the feet of the ox and the donkey rein free. Do you all remember the first song when it talks about people being like a tree, or the man that would do God's will be like a tree planted by the river of water that bring forth his fruit in his season? His leaf will not wither. Blessed are you that sow beside all waters, and to send thither the ox and the ass. Letting your animals eat. Let your animals be able to have something that's nice. Verse 19, when it shall hail down on the forest. As far as I know, we're talking about the judgment of God. When the judgment of God falls, when the judgment of God falls on the enemies, when the judgment of God falls even on Jerusalem, those that are wrong, righteousness will be restored. that will give them what they need. God's going to judge Assyria. God's going to judge Israel. And until the judgment takes place, you're going to miss out on all these blessings that he has or that he has. God is interested in his family doing judgment, speaking judgment, and discerning between good and evil. So much so that he has it on the forecast of what is to come. Israel, if you don't do it, then there will be a true vine that will come. His father is the husbandman. He will execute judgment. When he comes, he'll say, I speak not the words of myself, I speak the words of him that sent me. When he comes, he's going to say, who is the son of the father? They asked him one time, but they told him, your mother and your brother sent out. They're sitting outside wanting to talk to you. He said, who is my mother and my brother? And he said, he that hears the word of God, or he that does the will of God and keep it. That's the family of God. We listen to his counsel. Our eyes are open. Our ears are open. We listen to his counsel. We are not at ease. We are not at rest. We learn to mourn over things that should be mourned, not just the physical thing, but when it's justice, the judgment is not being done. When his word is being ignored in our homes, in our families, in what we call the so-called church. Why is that? Because when we partake of the Spirit, the Bible says the righteousness of the law, according to Romans chapter 8, is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. These people here had the Spirit of God that would come upon their place, and it would be a cloudy pillar and a fiery pillar. They had God's word, he had his Spirit, and they took counsel, but not of his Spirit. People say they didn't have the Spirit back then. Well, then how can God make that accusation? How can God make that accusation that they didn't listen? It's because sometimes we listen to people tell us what was there instead of read. I'll read that last verse again, and then I'm going to close out with a prayer, and we're going to go into discussion. Isaiah 30:1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, that cover with the covering but not of my Spirit. I know they said that the Spirit wasn't back there, but he was there. He hovered over the face of the water. That they may add sin to sin. Yes, he hovered over the water in the creation, and he hovered over Israel to protect them and to guide them and to cover them, and they rejected it. Our message for tonight is we need to learn to do righteous judgment, to speak righteous judgment, and to discern between good and evil so that God's word can go out through the vessels that he has chosen to use. Man, we can be replaced if we find that too hard to do. I shall pray. Father, thank you for your beautiful word. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, your magnificent glory, and all of the things that you've done for us. The things that we don't even deserve. Often we've been like Israel. We've listened and we've bought little books and we've looked at little daily breads and little devotionals and songs and clapped our hands and maybe even jumped up and down and called ourselves shouting and clapped the fast clap and all of that. But lived an ungodly life. And would not exercise judgment for those that need it. We didn't want to be involved. And we let those in churches, we let those that on our purview and our families, and we let even sometimes ourselves, we thwarted judgment because we didn't care what your word said enough. And we kept back justice and judgment. And often, Lord, we let people tell us this somebody else's personal business, although these people are accountable to us. We say that we meddling or we don't know or we can't say or we ain't supposed to judge, and yet somebody's a victim crying out for somebody to please speak up on my behalf. Help us as the children of God to exercise judgment, to discern between good and evil, so that we can praise your great and mighty name. Amen and amen. And even so, amen.